Well, good morning, church. It is good to see you. Good to be with you this morning. I tell you what, we are fortunate. That is the first time I have waited on the Lord's table in how many years? Probably over 20 years, maybe since we've been married. So thank you for that opportunity. I appreciate that. That was I had completely forgotten until those people were walking up there, and I was like, oh, that's me. And I'm so out of habit. So I really enjoyed that, and getting to serve you all and to see you all and see what you wrote on your checks. That was just really neat. No judgments. No, man, it is. We have some celebrity artwork this morning, I see, from Mr. Liam. Thank you for that. This will be on display. This is a snowman with minions, which I assume is Jesus and his angels. We'll hang on to that for now. All right. Oh, and we have another celebrity in our midst this morning. I saw them in the paper, Miss Rita Young. For those of you who are unaware, she received a big award, and it was in the paper, and was honored for her years of service with students. And it's great, especially with FBLA. She has made a huge impact in the lives of not just students at Coffee County, but really throughout the mid-state and beyond. So let's give her a hand. I have never been involved with FBLA. I was even a business major in college, but I was never involved with FBLA. And to see that, that's a great program. And I really appreciate the opportunities she's giving our students. I got to be a judge in that, which was right up my alley. I really like judging y'all. And so I got to do that, and I'm going to get to go and do that in a couple of weeks here anyway to do that too. Another opportunity that's available in our community, and some of you may have seen this or heard about it already, but especially for those of you who live in Manchester, in and around Manchester, the principal at Westwood Middle School is looking for mentors to some students, some men, young men especially, or is it going to be either one? Okay. I didn't remember if it was specified, and is trying to get the pastors and preachers and godly men of our community involved and in that school. If you are especially concerned that it feels like God has been taken out of our schools, that is not the case here. Our teachers actively inviting preachers and pastors and teachers and men and women of God to come and be mentors to these. Especially are men needed, because it seems like the most glaring omission in the lives of many of these students is the lack of a father figure, a consistent, loving, teaching, guiding male presence. And that is a desperate need, a desperate hole in their lives. And so if we could be a part of that, is it Wednesday or Thursday at noon at Westwood Middle School, there will be a meeting Thursday at noon. If you are within the sound of my voice, you are hereby cordially invited to participate in that meeting. Just show up, go through the office, they'll give you a sticker, tell you where to go and what to do. That's it. That's all the advance preparation you have to put in this, and they'll try to explain more about that. And maybe you know somebody else you would like to encourage or invite to that Thursday at noon at the middle school. And we think about that, and I remember being about that age in middle school, and I was kind of stressed out. I was becoming, I was moving towards teenagerhood and becoming a teenager through those years. Didn't know what my fashion style was going to be like. Didn't know what my friend group was going to be like. Didn't know what my academic life, my social life, didn't know what any of that was going to be. Didn't even really know who I was. It's a really stressful time in life for those people. And now I'm older, and I tell you what, life is still stressful, isn't it? Raise your hand if at times your life is stressful. Just raise them up. Kids, see these adults? Everybody but the retired people has their hands raised. Yes, we all have stressors in our life. We do. Maybe for you, the stressor is work. Or maybe for you, the stressor is home. I know, the more you look at this picture, the more things you find that are just fantastic. There's a lot going on there. That is that kid in the microwave? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Anyway, yeah. So maybe for you, the laundry's piling up, or the dishes are piling up, and there's stuff everywhere. Maybe for you, the stressor comes from a broader sense. Maybe what's stressing you right now is taxes, right? Maybe it's just like you've got all these receipts and all these forms and all these things that need doing. So maybe that's sort of hanging over your head. Or maybe it's even beyond that. Maybe it's like you're stressed out about the gun control debate right now, and it just seems so angry on both sides, and you're like, oh, you know, this is just stressing me out. Or maybe you're stressed about social media, you know, where a lot of this stuff tends to take place. For those of you who are kind of far back, it says the green is you change your mind, the blue is they change their mind, the red is no one changes anything and everyone's angry. It's a pie chart of what happens in social media. And that seems to be pretty well the case. We get to vent and tell everybody how they're wrong. And this is, by the way, this is pretty well a personal confession right there. I mean, that is not, I am not preaching at you. I'm preaching at me, because it is so difficult, and you get stressed out and caught up, and things just sort of keep piling up and piling on to the point where we eventually just want out. Like, I just want to step away. I just need a break. I just need some time off or out of this, just to step out of this feedback loop of stress. I need sanctuary. And I so appreciated the songs Tommy led this morning that pointed us in the idea of seeking sanctuary in Jesus. And you, maybe for you, when you're thinking about seeking sanctuary and time away, for you, this is what you imagine. Just give me a day at the beach. Or maybe for you, it's this. Just give me a day at the lake. Right? Or maybe for you, it is a day at the spa. There are a few things that could be more stressful to me than the idea of going in there. But for some of you, this is like super relaxing. Oh, I'm just getting tense thinking about it. Yeah, but then for you, this is your idea of relaxation. Or get your nails done or your hair done. That's relaxing for you. Maybe some of you would just settle for this. Just give me a nap, right? If I could just get 30 minutes in the afternoon or in the middle of the day where nobody talked to me and nobody messed with me, and I could just settle down for a quick nap, that would be heaven, right? But there's not enough time, or there's not enough money, or there's too many responsibilities to abandon at the drop of the hat, so we don't end up getting to do any of that, right? We've got too much stuff to do and not enough time to do it in, too many things to take care of and not enough money to take care of them all, to go and take off and get this sanctuary that we are so desperately seeking. And so against this backdrop, against this feedback loop of stress, it is often difficult, if not impossible, I think, to hear and to take in the words of Jesus, who says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It's hard to even just get into that, right? I hear the words, I understand English, I cognitively know what that means, but in my life, that is just so far removed from reality. Because I don't feel like I have that peace. I don't feel like I am connected to this Jesus. This is the message of Jesus, and this is the good news he came to bring us, and yet somehow the Prince of Peace eludes us. Savior of the world, I get. I've been forgiven. I'm so thankful for that. Son of God, wonderful example, sinless. I mean, all of those things I get, but Prince of Peace, where is he? Now, in Scripture, achieving peace, and we just don't have time to get into this morning, but I'm going to just give you a quick summary. In Scripture, achieving peace is not your job. There you go. You cannot effect peace. You can seek peace, but peace, creating peace, begins always, first and always, with God. That is the work of God. Human beings are called into this creative work of God of making peace, but it always begins with God. God is the author of peace. And as human beings, created in God's image, we are called not just to be makers of that peace, which is great, but we are called to enter that peace, to enter into God's peace. Now, what do we mean when we say that? Because obviously, and you look at the lives of the godly men and women, we see their stories throughout Scripture, entering into the peace of God does not mean the absence of quote-unquote stress. Otherwise, Jesus didn't enter into the peace of God. Because right? Jesus had some pretty stressful things going on in his life. Abraham had some pretty stressful things going on in his life. David, all these godly men and women, we could go into the stories of the godly women who had stress in their lives. How did they enter into this godly peace? And I want to give you this morning one, just one, and there are others. I want to give you one practical way that you can enter into the peace of God today. Not like after months of study, not after a week-long retreat. I'm talking about peace of God for you, regardless of who you are, right here, this morning. We're going to do it right now, okay? We're going to talk about meditation. Now, when I say meditation, this is probably what you connote. This is a transcendental type of meditation associated especially with Eastern religions. And so when we say the word meditation, I just figured I'd go ahead and put the picture up there because this is likely what you're imagining. But this is not the meditation that we're necessarily talking about. And this is not the meditation that the Scriptures talk about. We're told about meditation throughout the Bible. I mean, meditation is throughout the Scriptures. Abraham's son Isaac, pretty godly man, one of the godly forefathers of the nation of Israel, he's recorded as going out into a field to meditate in Genesis 24, verse 63. Isaac went out to meditate, literally, and the word that's used here, and there are different words used for meditate, but this particular word for meditate means to sort of walk around and think. The important thing, though, is not the walking around. The important thing is the thinking. Like if you say, let me go for a walk, and you may physically walk, but what you're really doing is processing what's going on in your life. Right? That's the sort of contemplation. So Isaac goes out to meditate, and this is how he meets his wife, Rebecca. So there may be some hidden benefits of meditation. All you single people, just go for a walk. And this is not even the kind of meditation we're going to do. We're not going to get up and all go for a walk. The meditation we're going to talk about, though, is perhaps best seen in another biblical figure, Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua has been told Moses has died. So now this mantle of leadership has been passed along to Joshua. You talk about stress. Let me read however many 100,000 people whining and complaining into a war. Out of the desert. That's stress, right? And so God commissions Joshua. He tells Joshua to lead Israel. And as a part of that commission, this is what God says to Joshua. He says, do not let this book of law, remember they've received the law from God on Mount Sinai while they were in the desert. God says, do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Joshua was told to keep this book in his mouth, which some think means talk about it. And that's certainly possibly the case, could be the case. I think it's more like savor, to keep it in your mouth. Like when you take a bite of something that's really good and you're like, oh my goodness. This is so good. You know? Keep this word of God in your mouth. Savor it. Taste it. See how good it is. Meditate on it. And even when you get up from the supper table or the dinner table or the Thanksgiving feast table, and you'll be like, you can go and you can sit on the couch and still say, oh, that was so good. Right? It's still with you. It's still fresh on your mind. Meditate on it. This is the same kind of meditation that we see throughout the book of Psalms. There are all these accounts of meditation, commands to meditate. Psalm 1 verse 2, maybe the best known of all those. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. You probably have heard that one. Psalm 77 verse 12, I will meditate on all your works and consider your mighty deeds. It's not just thinking about the law that God has given, but thinking about the ways God has accomplished things, how he has worked with people, what he has done through your forefathers, your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, all the way back through Israel, how God's mighty deeds have brought about his will in the world. Meditate on those. I will lift up my hands, says Psalm 119:48. Lift up my hands to your commands. In other words, I'm going to do them, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. Psalm 119 again, verses 97 through 99. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. And I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Dwelling on the Word of God enters us into that world of God wherein there is peace. That seems to be what this teaching is leading, that it meditating on the Word of God somehow brings us a step into that realm of God, the habitation of God, the will of God, the thought of God. And so we're going to do here, this is a really quick, down and dirty, how to meditate session. If I had my spiritual direction teacher here, he would laugh at this because this is going to be, I took a whole class on it, and I finished, and I'm terrible at this. Like, I'm not a slow down and think kind of guy. So I'm just giving you that up front. But we're going to try this together. And so this is the really quick version of how to meditate. And I realize that most of us here are not accustomed to this, and that's okay. So here are just a few ways that we can approach Scripture in a way that will not only inform us, and that's the way we generally go to Scripture. I go to Scripture looking for information. I want it to inform me. This is not that way. We're not looking for information. I don't need to be informed. I need to be formed. This is how the Word of God doesn't just give me information, it shapes me in a better way, if that makes sense. So the first thing, very first thing is, and I know this is crazy, but you've got to find time. And I say make time up here, and that sounds, especially, and I think about all you moms out there, and working moms, maybe more so the case. Where am I going to make time? I'm not talking about setting out an hour. We're talking about 5 minutes. Make 5 minutes. Set your alarm 5 minutes early. If you go to work, get to work 5 minutes early. Take 5 minutes out of your lunch. If you drive to work, get an audio Bible. Play it on the way. I mean, you could get a passage of Scripture in, even in a Manchester commute. Right? We're not talking about a huge chunk of your day, though that would be nice. And I'm sure that if we had an hour, that's exactly what we would do. But we're just talking about 5 minutes here. If you are a student, throughout your school day, you can find 5 minutes. Somewhere, somehow, 5 minutes. You finish your work early in class, you can do 5 minutes. If you have a busy work schedule, you can find 5 minutes. If you are a stay-at-home parent, you can find, every one of us can find 5 minutes. And just take this time and find a passage. Just choose a scripture. Now, some scriptures are better given to this than others. I would recommend starting with the Psalms, maybe the Beatitudes out of Matthew 5, the writings of the Apostle John in either the Gospel of John or 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John. I think those are all really kind of, in my experience, those contain some really deep, thought-provoking messages in really few words, if that makes sense. And that's the sort of passage we're looking for. It's tough sometimes to do that with a narrative passage. Like if you're reading the story of Noah, which is a fantastic story about God's faithfulness and his redemption of mankind. I'm not discounting that at all. I'm just saying for this purpose, we're looking for one or two verses to think on and to meditate on, okay? So this is thought-provoking, something along the lines of poetry, like Psalms often can achieve that. Ecclesiastes is another excellent example, wherein there's a deep thought contained in a few words. All right, so you've found 5 minutes. You've selected a passage of Scripture. This is going to be hard. You may have to write this down. Read it. But don't read it the way you would do a novel. Don't read it the way you would do the paper in the morning. Those are both reading. You're getting the information. We're not looking for information. We're looking for formation. So read it slowly one time. Like savor each word. Remember that? Keep it in your mouth. Savor each word. And you read this brief passage. You just sort of drink it in. What words jump out at you? What words convict you? And if you don't understand it fully, praise God, that's okay. Don't skip the hard parts. Imagine you're learning to ride a mountain bike. Just pretend. And you're riding down a trail, and you come to this section of trail that's really difficult. You have two options at this point. One, go around. And that tends to be our first option. I cannot do this yet. I'll go around. The second option, and that's the one I'm going to argue for here, is go over it slowly, learn about it, come back, do it again, come back, do it again, come back, do it again, till by the time you finish the trail, you're proficient on that one little hard section. Does that make sense? And you may have to ride the trail multiple times. But if we just continue going around, we're never going to get good at going over hard stuff. So, read it slowly. If you don't understand it, that's okay. Keep thinking about it. Keep drinking it in. Go over it slowly and stop and think. Just read it slowly and think. When you finish, and you might have to write this down again, repeat that process. Read it slowly again. And if you have time, this would be fantastic if you could memorize that one verse or those two verses. And I'll tell you why that's important. Even if you don't memorize it, this will be great for now. Even if you don't memorize it, this is a conforming experience, and that's what we're looking for. That is a good thing. I'm not discounting that at all. If you can memorize it, or even just parts of it, then you can move on to the final step, which is to reflect on that throughout the day. And again, reflection is not a long, drawn-out, difficult process. You are walking down the hall to your bedroom, and you recall that passage to mind. And it just sort of brings you into that moment that even though you're going to fold towels and sheets, you are doing it with God. You are going to your car to run an errand while at work, and you can think about this one passage. You're maybe on the drive home from your job. You could be fixing supper. You've got a couple of pots on the stove and something in the oven. And you've got a couple of minutes before you have to take something out of the microwave. Reflect. You can do it while you're folding. You can do it while you're washing. You can do it all sorts of ways. But just take time to go over this passage. It is not a hard... You see, this is it. It's a five-step process, and this is my five-step process. If you go and read a real book on meditation, they will laugh at this. But I'm giving you the really simple version here. Make time, choose a passage, read it slowly again and memorize it if you can, and reflect on it. But all of that needs to be done at a methodical, thoughtful pace. And so now you've got the information. But we're not looking for information, remember? We are looking for formation. So now we're going to do this. You and me, right here, right now. So here's what you need to do. Unless you have children, don't do this. Put your feet on the floor or sit in some place that is comfortable and relaxing that you're not going to have to move in the next couple of minutes. You can rest your hands on your knees. I want you to be able to close your eyes unless you have small children who escape. Just close your eyes. I'm going to read a passage. I'm going to ask you some questions about reflecting on it. We're going to read it again. I'm not going to be teaching you this passage. I'm not going to give you all my fabulous insights and concordances and dictionaries that I've read on this. This is just you and God and His Word forming in you, okay? Take a deep breath. Let's let it out slowly. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. What word jumped out into your mind? How does this message speak to what you are experiencing in your life? What message is God conveying to you through His Word now? Let's read it one more time. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. All right. It's a different experience, isn't it? Now, all of that took us about 3 minutes. And if we take the time here to memorize this, that moment of encountering the Word of God does not cease when we get up. I cannot fix all that stuff we saw earlier, all the pictures we saw. I can't clean your house. I could. I'd be really bad at it, but I guess I could do that. But I can't fix your home life. I cannot fix your work life. I can't make the national debates go away. I can't fix social media. I can't pay your taxes. I cannot get rid of any of those stressors. I don't have that power, and no one else in this room has that power. Those things are going to exist today, tomorrow, and always. Those just are a part of life. God does not call us to live lives removed from stress. He calls us to enter into His peace in the midst of this life. And He's offering you, and this is just one way to do that. If you are overwhelmed and feel like you are facing a tide of life that you cannot handle, maybe you cannot handle it alone. And if we can pray for you or walk with you, we want to do that this morning, here and now. If you are living a life apart from God, there is a place of quiet rest near to His heart, and He bids you come. So won't you come now as we stand and as we sing?
I am a sheep and the Lord is my shepherd, watching over my soul. My soul to keep guarding over me ever, watch wherever I go. And when the winds blow, He is my shelter, and when I'm lost and alone, He rescues me. And when the lion comes, He is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. We are His children, and He is our Father, watching over our soul. Great is His love for His sons and His daughters, watching wherever we go. And when the winds blow, He is my shelter, and when I'm lost and alone, He rescues me. And when the lion comes, He is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me. And when the wind blows, He is my shelter, and when I'm lost and alone, He rescues me. And when the lion comes, He is my victory, constantly watching over me. He is constantly watching over me.